B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to.
Noontime hour on a Friday here on Zolak and Bertrand, Beetle, Hardy, Sean Silver, coming to you from the Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. As you just heard in the headlines, the Toronto Blue Jays have a home. They can't play in Toronto. And whenever you think about Toronto, the next sort of major American city, if you want to call it major, is Buffalo, right? You always associate that. The Bills are the closest thing that Toronto has to an NFL team. They're going to Buffalo now. They were going to try and play elsewhere, first Pittsburgh, then Baltimore. They have settled on Buffalo.
The Bills make me want to shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now.
Buffalo's got a baseball team now, and it's the Toronto Blue Jays that will play in the Buffalo Bisons ballpark, which, just looking it up quickly, it's not terrible. For a minor league complex, it doesn't look half bad.
It's not new either. It's like an old park that's really nice, I think, right? Or like an older park, like late 80s, early 90s type.
Yeah, it was built prior to the 1988 season. So it's not new, but it doesn't look bad. Does that make sense? It's now Solon Field is the name of it. Previously, Pilot Field, Downtown Ballpark, North America Care Park, Dunn Tire Park, and Coca-Cola Field, which means this ballpark is now in its sixth name in its existence. Buffalo, New York, it is downtown, and it typically hosts the Buffalo Bison. Now they're going to be hosting the Toronto Blue Jays. So there they are. They've got a ballpark. It's not a bad-looking park. I don't know what the facilities are like. They're going to have to figure that out. But in looking at, I don't know if you noticed, the Red Sox have put out some photos of what the interior of Fenway Park is looking like right now. And where there was once a concourse on the third base side. So if you've been to Fenway Park and you've come through, let's say, Gate A, and you head to the right, not the left, not down in left field, but you go down to the right near where the visitors clubhouse is. That entire concourse has been turned into the visiting clubhouse. They put down like a green AstroTurf throughout the concourse and then set up all the lockers out on the concourse. They've moved the visiting clubhouse onto the concourse. So even major league teams need to sort of make use of space that otherwise would be for fans. You turn the concourses into clubhouses. The problem is they're doing it on like 5 days' notice. The Red Sox have had a month to figure this out. And now you've got this happening on just days' notice. So it might not be great at the beginning, but they got to figure it out. Hey, what a win for Buffalo. I know that there's no fans going in. It's still cool. Like if you're from Buffalo, you're like, oh, the major league we got major league teams playing here every night. That's, I don't know, it's sort of cool.
It's something. And yeah, like you said, even if you can't have a direct connection to it, it's something happening in your town. And if nothing else, it speaks to the fact that, you know what, for whatever reason, we've done this COVID thing well enough to where it's safe enough to have them come here and we're cool with them having here. And you get to feel a little friendly and maybe feel a little like you're extending a little bit of hospitality in the process.
Right.
And who knows? It might help out the local businesses a little bit, you know.
But hotels? Now they got to host the teams.
To whatever extent. Good. Great. Good. It is. It's a win for Buffalo.
Yeah. Win for Buffalo.
Why not?
There you go. Chuck one up there for Buffalo. They now have the Blue Jays. That's what they get. The Blue Jays are going to Buffalo.
The Buffalo Blue Jays. It's got a nice ring to it.
Maybe they can now make a pitch to keep the team. You know what? Why don't you just stay here?
Yeah.
You don't need to go back to Canada. Just stay here in the States. Stay here in Buffalo.
It's right across the river thing.
Do you think Buffalo could support a major league team? A major league baseball team. They support a football team.
Very well. The Bills fans are manic.
They support the Sabres.
They do. Not as much in recent years, but they've got a good fan base there.
Yeah, they're fine.
They've got a good NHL fan base. They've got a good NFL fan base. I think Buffalo could support a major league team if they put one there. Again, you're not building a ballpark for 50,000 people. You're building one for 35 or 40. They don't build those giant ballparks unless they have to these days. Build a ballpark for 35,000 people in Buffalo. I think you'd do okay. I think they'd do just fine there. Maybe that's something that happens down the road. Even though there's no fans here again right now. But see what the interest level is. Do they get the Toronto Blue Jays games in Buffalo? Can they make that happen? That's a big part of it too, Artie. Can the people in Buffalo turn on the Blue Jays on their TVs every night?
You would think that they would almost feel compelled to make it available to them and certain providers in that market. There's got to be a way of doing it. There's got to be a way where they can do it on the local cable providers or do some kind of a, I don't know, the MLB thing that we've been talking about that Jim was explaining to us, you know, in that package, which we thought they were going to reduce. What did it go from $60 to $50, Jim? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know at this point. I mean, 60 games?
Yeah. I mean, it was.
I think it's $49.
Yeah. It wasn't.
It was like $130 usually. For 162 games, it's like $130.
Here it is. For a single team, it's $49.99 for the year. We went over this, I think, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. For the year, for the entire league, is $60.
Jim, you may have been gone that week. But yeah, it wasn't much of a reduction. Help the people in Buffalo out. You know, let them watch the team. Why not?
That stadium, Beetle, at one point up until 2004, sat over 21,000 fans.
Wow.
Capacity. So I don't know if there's a way to convert
if
that
they needed
into a bigger,
If they needed 21,000 seats for a minor league team, and it's a AAA club, so it's decent, that's pretty good.
They must have done renovations because now it only holds 16,600.
Yeah, they need to. If they wanted to put a team in Buffalo, they'd have to build a new stadium, and it would. There's fewer and fewer of these. But you would think there's a play there for a new multi-use stadium for the NFL team and for a baseball team.
Pegula wants a new one too, right? So
yes. Isn't there a play to be made? Baseball in Buffalo? I mean, they don't do great in Toronto. People don't even go to games up there unless they're really good. You always see these shots like, oh, one game playoff in Toronto. Remember the Jose Bautista game? Like,
oh my God,
place is banged out. It's like, yeah, where were they all season?
That's my one image burned in my brain about the Blue Jays is Bautista and the elongated bat flip, which is great.
I think that or like Joe Carter hitting a home run. You know, the World Series of the '92 and '93 for the Blue Jays. I mean, they were really good. Cito Gaston. Oh, there were a lot of guys on those teams. Robbie Alomar was on those teams. Joe Carter.
Yeah. They're not going to lose a team over this, though. That's wishful.
I think they should. Toronto, you're out. Toronto.
No longer throwing the ball on the mound in Toronto.
Toronto. No more Toronto. 617-779-0985. Your calls on all of it from the day. Hardy's leaky toilets and his water bill. That's also in the mix. I see a call waiting on that. And a Nathan Eovaldi call and a Red Sox call. Why don't we jump back into the Red Sox? Because we've been doing a little discussion here about what it's going to take
for
them to be a playoff team. And I think it's very much achievable, yes.
I'd appreciate it if you didn't, you know, mention in conjunction with the water bill issue with the leaky toilet. Because that automatically, like...
Am I hurting your abatement case?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
All right, I won't mention that
anymore. Knock
that
part of it off.
All right, I'll stop that. Your call's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The 2020 Red Sox season begins tonight. We're calling it the Chase for Eight. The eighth seed in the American League. Eight teams will get in. Last year under this format, the Red Sox would have been the seventh seed. That's what they would have been, which begs the question. Are there two teams in the American League that have become better than what the Red Sox will be in 2020, right? That's what it needs to be. Two teams below the Red Sox a year ago now need to be better than the Red Sox this year. And that, by the way, I understand the Red Sox are not as good as they were in 2019. They're just not.
Yeah, so you need two teams who not necessarily have gotten better. You need two teams who have either maintained their same level from last year or gotten better.
All right, so let's do this exercise. Okay, there will be division winners, obviously, and that's the best way to get in. So will these teams be playoff teams? The Astros. The Yankees.
Yeah.
The Twins.
I don't know.
But there's going
to
be.
You don't know. 101 win team last year.
I don't know.
Added Josh Donaldson.
The Twins, the Athletics, the Rays. The Rays. The Rays could go either way.
The Rays always find a way, though, to.
Okay.
Finish second in the AL East.
All right. So after the five teams that were in the playoffs last season, Astros, Yankees, Twins, Athletics, and Rays, you had these teams behind. The Indians were on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
The Red Sox and the Texas Rangers. All three of those teams would have been in as the sixth, seventh, and eighth seed in the American League. So the teams behind the Red Sox under last year's scenario, where they would have been seven, is the Rangers, White Sox, Angels, Mariners, Blue Jays, Royals, Orioles, and Tigers. So you need to name two teams out of the group that I just named, and know for sure that the other teams that were already in or ahead of the Red Sox would have been in. So which two teams do you want to give that credit to? Is it the Rangers? No.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you know?
Added Corey Kluber.
How do you know that's going to make them that much better? Short season, anything can happen.
Wins two or three games, and the Red Sox regress.
If you're going to take the anything can happen philosophy, which I'm not saying is a bad one. Okay, we can throw out last year's records and the offseason acquisitions and departures out the window. We don't even need to do the exercise. If you're going to go on board with anything can happen, then anything can happen. But I will say it's difficult for me to believe that a team that barely got in last year, like that would have barely gotten in last year based on the way they finished this season, and lost Mookie Betts and David Price and has I don't know what for pitching. I really don't know. I'm not using hyperbole. You're asking me to comment on, you know, what the Tigers did in the offseason or the Twins or anyone else. I have no idea. I have zero clue. But I know this. The Red Sox, on paper, are not nearly as good this year as they were last year. And you're asking me to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, A, anything can happen, and B, some other teams probably also got worse along with them and or aren't going to play up to the same level. It's just, it's not there. I know you want it to be there, and it could very well be there over a 60-game schedule, but to think that they've got a real good chance, you're kidding yourself. Not before they've thrown the first pitch.
Of being the eighth seed? Yeah, I think they have a good chance of that. I think they've got a pretty good chance of being able to be the eighth seed.
Eighth
seed last year had a losing record in the American League.
If you base it on nothing more than anything can happen, then yeah, they've got a good chance.
I'm not basing it on just anything can happen. I'm saying that their roster is good enough.
The lineup.
The lineup is good enough.
The lineup not is the good enough.
The pitching blows.
And Beadle, to be fair, I said the same thing when we were going through the departure of David Price and Mookie Betts. I said, you know what? This team should have been so much better last year just based on the lineup. You know, just based on the bats, they should have been able to do more. And they should be able to. But the fact is they didn't last year.
They had 84 wins with some, at times, terrible pitching. And their bullpen was a disaster.
And the pitching is worse now. It is worse.
Fact. That is a fact. That is true. Yep. That is true.
It is. You got
But I believe their lineup could be better than it was a year ago. Even without Betts, there are guys. I should qualify this.
Oh.
Hold on. Their lineup could be better because of individuals that had bad years that could have better years.
Like who?
Andrew Benintendi needs to have a good year. Like, that could help make up for the loss of
Betts. But are you going to get...
They're not going to be better without Betts. I don't mean it that way.
Are you going to get another year like Christian Vasquez again? You know, I mean... So, yeah, Benintendi steps forward, but what about these other kind of role players? You know, Devers, Bogarts, Martinez are going to do what they do. But the other guys...
Is Devers in that group?
Yeah, Devers is absolutely in the group of guys. You know what they're going to do.
So, Devers, Bogarts, JD Martinez...
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to add Benintendi into that group.
Yes.
I really would.
I said it a couple weeks ago to you guys, and you guys thought I was crazy, but this is a season, this is the type of year that Jackie Bradley could win an MVP.
Oh, of course. Oh, it's so true.
He's 45 games. He could be just hot for 45 out of 60 games.
Because he's got...
hit like 350.
He's got that in him every year, right?
Or
that
he
stretch.
Could hit 120 for the whole season. You don't know.
He could bat below 100 or above 280. You have no idea. It could go either way.
Well, I mean, his hot streaks have been as good as anybody playing.
That's the problem. It's the streaks. It's like he might. What 2 months are we going to get from him?
What if it's the hot streaky 2 months?
Yeah.
If it's the hot streaky 2 months. I mean,
MVP.
I also don't want to discount whatever Verdugo might be for them. I mean, we haven't really seen that yet. Here's what I think is crazy to say the
offense could be better even though Betts is gone. Don't say better without Betts. Say better even though he's gone.
Maybe.
Right? Like, it's not because he's gone that they're getting better, but they just might be better.
They could have just have a better year collectively. Could have a better year. So, I don't want to call them better without Betts because they are not. Man, it's going to bother me for years that Mookie Betts is in L.A. He's only going to get better. You watch. So, anyway, here's what I do know. The expanded playoffs makes baseball in Boston infinitely more interesting this year. It makes me want to watch more of this team than I otherwise would have watched. It's now an everyday, every pitch, condensed season makes things very important for the Red Sox every single day.
Every pitcher is just... auditioning for a playoff appearance as the season goes on. That's how you're going to be watching the game. Oh, maybe this guy could be used in the playoffs. Maybe we could see this in the play. You're going to think that way throughout the whole 2 months.
Yes. Eric in Winthrop actually wants to talk about the guy on the mound tonight for the Red Sox, Nathan Eovaldi. What's up, Eric?
Hey, real quick before I get to Eovaldi, if you've never seen the footage of Mr. Rogers in front of the Senate pleading for public broadcasting money, it's worth the 5-10 minutes. It gives you a real good sense of the guy. And Eovaldi, can you imagine what would be worse if he went out and threw like a one or a no-hitter? I mean, I was working at Fenway the day of the Buchholz no-hitter, and it seems like we couldn't get rid of him for 15 years. It was a potential. It's like a Jackie Bradley thing.
That'd be the worst thing ever happen if he threw a no-hitter.
I don't know why that would be the worst thing ever, though. He signed. He's here.
Yeah.
His no-hitter will not impact his future.
Because if he threw a no-hitter the next day, they would sign him to like an additional 4 years. They would extend him right away. That's the danger. He'd fall in love with that one no-hitter.
No, I would say to the caller, he hung up on us, I would say that already happened for Nathan Eovaldi, and it was the 2018 playoffs when he pitched his ass off until like 4 in the morning and then showed up the next morning and was like, yeah, can I pitch again tonight? And they were like, no, but oh my God, this guy's just a warrior. And so that's what led to his extension against the wishes of some, Tony Mazzarotti. And so that's why he's back. So that's already happened for him. It's already happened for Nathan Eovaldi.
You look at Eovaldi, it's like, oh, Eovaldi is the opening day starter. Who are you facing? Tommy Malone. All right, then Eovaldi's the opening day starter.
And that, to me, is the American League in a snapshot, right?
Tommy Malone. Sounds fake. Sounds fake. It doesn't even spell it right.
It spells it with an I. Idiot. Yep. So the Red Sox season begins tonight, and we're all hoping for the best. Tommy Malone. Get out of here, Tommy Malone. But that's what it is. That's what it is night in, night out. The American League, the Orioles. Red Sox could open up 3-0 this weekend, Hardy.
They could.
Could. It's going to be great. Chris in Worcester. Hey, Chris.
Yes. Hi, guys. How's it going? I just wanted to point out, I think the schedule is going to be tougher for the Red Sox this year because they're not facing the usual dregs of the White Sox, Royals, Tigers, et cetera, that they get to beat up on over the course of the season. They're facing their regular AL opponents and, in addition, the NL East, which last year had four teams that were 500 or above. So I think it's going to be more of a struggle for them this year to, you know, get those padded records that they usually get from the crappy teams.
Mm. I have to now look at the other schedules for teams like the Rangers and White Sox to see who they have on their calendar. Might be more even across the board than you think. Those same challenges will be faced by those other teams that are at the bottom of the American League barrel.
That's right. The Red Sox are not playing their schedule in a vacuum. You're right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 617-779-0985 is the phone number for you. We'll talk to Bruce Arena coming up at 12:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruce Arena will join us from Orlando on the phone coming up next segment. Rich is in Plymouth. He joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Rich. Rich, you there?
Yep, sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So, it's for you, Beatles, since Hardy can't get any advice. So when you change out your universal flap in your toilet, make sure that the chain isn't dangling and hitting where the hole is, because I had the same thing happen to me when my water bill went up, it doubled because the flap never actually closed correctly. And that's why you have to jingle your...
That's why you got that little sleeve. You got to tuck the excess chain down in that sleeve.
Right.
I'm with you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So just check to make sure that that's the case, Beetle. Not Hardy, since you're dealing with some abatement, that may solve your problem.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, mine is that the actual flap is just a little worn and stuck. Like, it just needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll do it this weekend. I don't want to end up like you.
I think we're on the road to resolution. We've made real progress here today, this morning, before the show, and, I look forward to continued discussions and some real good news coming very soon. Abatement 2020.
You hired a lawyer yet?
No.
You might need representation in this.
I did feel a little bit like someone started talking about an abatement. I'm like, I don't know what those are. It's one of those words that grownups use, and it's like, you get decades into grown-uphood,
yeah,
and you think you would know what an abatement is. It's kind of like escrow. It's like, Well, what is that escrow? It's an escrow. Well, where is it? I don't know, but that's where it is. An abatement. What is that? You got to file one. I don't know what that is, but they do. And you need to file the abatement.
File for the abatement.
For the abatement. Right. Careful with the prepositions.
Yeah.
Because, you know, then you really demonstrate you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I didn't know it was referred to as an abatement on a water bill. I mean, I've heard of an abatement of taxes.
Well, it is an assessed fee that you would
I mean, it's like, hey, you used all this water. You should pay for it.
I didn't, though. I didn't use it. I found it not to be useful at all. I don't know who used it. I don't know if it got used.
As I said, it's always an accusation. Every utility bill you get is an accusation of how much electricity you used, how much natural gas you used, or oil you used.
A passive accusation, but an accusation nonetheless.
An accusation.
Along with sentencing, right there in the same document.
Right. Delivery fees. What do you mean delivery fees? Of course, I mean, you didn't come and bring it to the house. I mean, there's a pipe that comes out of the ground. You're charging me to deliver it to me? Doesn't seem like you had to go far. Delivery fees. Only water, though, you've had this issue with. I find water to be the most expensive bill.
I learned today that water is very expensive now.
It's an expensive bill these days.
The price of water does change.
Does it really?
That's what they said. Who did?
I just thought I used more or less. I didn't know the price changed.
And they are the ones who know, because they are the ones handling the abatements. I don't know what it all means. It's just words. I had someone else tell me I should write it off. Like, write what off?
The abatement.
What does that mean?
But they do, and they're the ones writing it off.
Apply for the abatement. Peter's in Wareham today. What's up, Peter?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Artie, is your water meter wireless? Because you can be hacked. The new water meters that are, you know, like Bluetooth.
I'm laughing.
Why would some...
Arnie may have been hacked.
They didn't hack my Instagram. They didn't hack my bank accounts. They hacked my water meter for what? Yes, and look, I understand it could happen. Why? Why would someone hack my water meter?
Because they don't want to pay their water bill, and so they hack yours, and their water goes to your meter.
Unauthorized use. Isn't that what they call that in the biz?
That's a bad actor.
Well, I'm just telling you, it has happened. It can happen, and just saying.
Unauthorized use. We heard that from an earlier caller. You don't want unauthorized use on your water. That's bad.
So, I mean, that sounds like genius level hacking.
Have you ever heard of the people that bypass their water meter or their electric meter to steal utilities? Have you heard of those stories?
Well, I've heard of people plugging in like an extension cord to like a neighbor's outdoor outlet and running it for weeks at a time.
You ever seen the people that bypass the electric meter? That's a dangerous game they play.
Because it's electricity?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the a lot of people that were in the illegal trades of growing things in a said space that need a lot of light have been known to do that from time to time.
Okay.
Yep.
But that's
because when you all of a sudden, you know, here's the good thing for you about the water bill being so high.
And
if the electric bill had all of a sudden gone that high, they might start investigating you. What's he doing over there?
But I'm not doing anything.
The water bill, I mean, right.
Come
what are you
investigate.
Doing? The guy just wastes water, right? With electric, though, that tips somebody off. Wait a minute. What kind of operation they running down in that basement?
And if somebody were to hack my water bill, you know, to help cover up their multi-million dollar marijuana crop, I get it. But it's like three times the cost.
What's Scott and Rentham think about this? Scott?
Oh, no.
What's the problem? What's the problem with this water?
It was used.
I got a well. So I can
a whale? You have a whale in your yard?
The right whale?
I got a water well. I got a water well back.
All whales are by definition water whales.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Yeah, you party. Get a well in your backyard. They go down about 300 feet. They put a pump pump down there, and you have all the water you need, bro.
They can go a lot deeper than that. And waterways, a humpback will go the mile down.
You guys miss me?
Hey, so much.
Hey, Zo, did you hear about that? Did you hear about the kidnapping?
What kidnapping?
Nothing. He woke up.
Got him!
Got him, of course.
Bruce Arena next!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand at 12:51. It's Beetle, Hardy, and Silver today. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls in just a bit. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution, Bruce Arena, with us once again. Hey, Coach, what's happening?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Everything's good down here in Orlando.
Okay.
I hope everything's well in Boston as well.
Have you adjusted to life in the bubble?
I have. We have. Life could be a lot worse than being in this facility for 3+ weeks, which we have been. The food's been good. The accommodations are good. The training facilities, everything is good here. And considering we're in a pandemic, we're really fortunate to have this opportunity.
It's a good question, though, Bill. It's like, you know, we've talked to a couple of people, but is there one thing that you forgot that you can't have with you now, or one thing that you're missing that you didn't think you'd miss?
Well, I miss just seeing people in the outside world. You know, miss family. I'm fortunate my son's here, actually, with LAFC, but I miss my wife, which... I thought I would say that.
I was going to say, wink, wink.
But I miss my wife. She's a wonderful lady, and I haven't seen her in about a month.
Wow. Yeah, we looked at a story this morning in the NBA where J.R. Smith came out and publicly said he didn't pack enough underwear for the NBA bubble. He only brought a week's worth of underwear, and so it was a problem.
Well, they do a laundry here, so I'm sure the NBA has a laundry service.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about your team. You advanced to the knockout round. Are you pleased with the way your team has played to this point?
I am. You know, we could have won all three games, actually. And, you know, we haven't had a whole lot of luck, but that's all part of it in competition. I think to get through our group has been a real plus, and this is another positive experience for our team as we, you know, rebuild the team. And we're making good progress. I think defensively, we've been the best team in a tournament, which is a real plus. We've had two shutouts. Our goalkeeper's played well. Our back line has played well. In the attack, we've created chances but haven't finished some of these chances. So we can be better in that area. And so tomorrow we have an opportunity to be a little bit better and hopefully get past Philadelphia and be among the final 8 teams here.
I know that when we talked last week, Coach, that you wished you could have played it, you know, at least that night. You had to wait an extra day. And if I also had to guess, I'd say that out of the three matches, that middle game against DC United, the 1-1 draw, is probably the one you were least pleased with performance-wise. If that's the case, do you attribute any of that to the long layoff, or am I totally off base?
I think so a little bit. We weren't as sharp, and you know, being off 8 days impacted us a little bit. And then we had the quick turnaround for Toronto. And, you know, we made six changes to our lineup, and I think we responded well to that. We'll make some more changes for the game tomorrow night. And I think we're actually going to have a fresh team, and hopefully we can push the pace of the game on Philadelphia. But it'll be interesting to see, but I'm real pleased with the depth of our team as well. We've played a lot of players, and that's been another positive as well.
Where would you be in this tournament right now without Matt Turner? Huh.
Well, I still think we'd be around. Matt wasn't called upon to do much in the Montreal game, yet there was a chance right at the end of the game he had to make a big save. DC United, really, he wasn't occupied. But the last game he made two big saves, which was tremendous and helped us get a result. So, you know, Matt's been, you know, I think Matt and actually the Philadelphia goalkeeper have been the best two goalkeepers in the tournament so far.
It was nice to see the goal from Adam Buksa, and I know you're still watching the progression and the ascension of Gustavo Bowe and Carlos Heel, and I hear some of the announcers and some of the different commentators from around the league, you know, especially with regard to Bowe and Heel, how, you know, we're talking like top-tier players now. Are you pleased with the way they've progressed, even though we don't have a lot of goals to show for it yet?
Yeah, they've played well, and, you know, Carlos was injured in the DC United game and didn't play, as you know, against Toronto. But he's an outstanding player. He's one of the top players in our league. And Gustavo continues to grow and be a leader in our team. And I think there's going to be a lot of goals ahead for him. So we're very fortunate to have those two players.
So Carlos Heel had some time off to allow the foot to sort of rest, and now he's dealing with his foot again. Are you worried that this could be something that lingers, or are you confident he'll have the chance to get fully healthy this season?
That remains to be seen. It's certainly a concern, and we're hopeful that we get a final evaluation on him to figure out what we need to do.
Bo looks very lean too. Is that something that happened like during the time off? Has he lost even more weight while you guys have been down there?
Probably a little bit. In the off season, he worked really hard. And then the month of June, he was absolutely terrific in our new training facility in Foxborough. He's worked real hard. He's a good professional. He's taken care of himself. And I think over the long haul, you're going to see that it's going to reap some rewards for him, because he's very fit now and can play hard for 90 minutes.
Bruce, the guy we haven't talked about is Kellen Rowe, who's had a strong tournament to this point, made some key defensive plays. Is he one of the unsung heroes to this point?
Yeah, I think so. His work rate's outstanding. He's still adopting to this position a little bit. We call it a number eight. He's more of like a box-to-box midfielder. And he's got to be a little bit better with his passing, but I think his work rate has been outstanding. He had an opportunity to get a goal against DC United, hit the crossbar. But he's given us a lot of valuable minutes.
All right, Coach. Great talking to you.
Well, okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Look forward to talking to you again.
Appreciate the time. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you. Okay, bye now.
Bruce Arena with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline from Orlando in the bubble.
It was so like him. I got thrown off when you asked about Matt Turner. I'm like, good question, man. Where would they be without him? And the Arena's like, yeah, well, he didn't have to do much in one
great,
of the games.
Isn't it?
He made a save at the end of another one, but like that
but
was
save at the end was a big save.
It's a big save.
But you just see the mindset of a coach is different from that of a fan.
Yeah, he had a couple.
Or in my very casual fan, in my case,
right? Yeah, he had a couple.
But like I saw it, I'm like, oh, it's a huge save.
Yeah, he had to make one. He didn't have to you fell asleep. During the other match, it's no big deal.
But that's not what gets you the credit in a coach's mind. A coach's mind is if you fend off a million shots in a night.
I mean, we're talking about a one-goal win in the first match and then two draws, okay? Where a total...
And the DC United game was a giveaway.
A total in these three matches. You know how many total goals have been scored in their three matches by both teams, Beadle? Three! Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a big save from Matt Turner... Or, even three of them, it could very easily be, we're talking about like double the goal production out of those three matches. But that is Arena to a T. It's like, yeah, he's good. Him and the guy in Philly, they're two best guys in tournament. But, what do you want?
He was fine.
See the ball, stop the ball. It's his job. He did it. What do you want? Give him a trophy? He made a big save.
Yeah, participation?
We got another game tomorrow night.
617-779-0985. We have headlines. We'll get back to your calls coming up. We'll also talk to Patriots linebacker Brandon Copeland. He is one of the newer Patriots, one of the new guys on the team that was acquired in the offseason. He's an NFL veteran who's getting ready for training camp. We'll ask him how he feels about that, about maybe some of the protocols that will be in place. We'll get to that coming up at 1:20. We'll get back to your calls on everything from the week right after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Nothing connects Boston more than its teams. We live for their wins and feel the pain of their losses.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Sean.
Because for Boston, it's personal.
This all started with Bill Belichick.
No station connects Boston to its teams more.
Thanks, guys, for being on the air.
The 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Patriots linebacker Brandon Copeland coming up at 1:20. 617-779-0985, the telephone number if you want to jump on board. Wide open phone lines for you on this Friday afternoon. We've talked a lot of baseball today, by the way. A lot of that in the mix. E-Rod being shut down by the Red Sox. Red Sox season opens tonight. Expanded playoffs mean it's the chase for eight for the Red Sox this year. Get into the playoffs. Be the last team in. Be on the right side of that line.
One thing, no need to be great, just be eight.
That's right. Also, Angel Hernandez is now a crew chief temporarily or on an interim basis in Major League Baseball. Can somebody explain that to me?
They need people. Do they need people?
How is that a thing?
Don't they have the same number of umpires that they've always had? Is there...
No, 12 dropped out because of the COVID.
Yeah, it's because of COVID reasons.
Okay. But so he sued Major League Baseball.
This is the same guy who was spying on the call. We just talked about him, a month ago?
Oh, crap. I forgot that was the same guy.
The same guy.
He had his phone hearing.
Well, by the way, before we even talk about that, he is one of the worst.
Oh, he's
universally recognized.
Yeah.
As one of the worst umpires in all of baseball.
Sneaky bad at umpiring.
Players will tell you, players can't stand him.
Right.
They think he sucks.
Right. Very inconsistent.
And so he was also the guy at the helm, running the show behind the plate in that series with the Rays last year. Right? And so the claims are that he eavesdropped on a call because he was the crew chief for the Red Sox Rays game, then why? So he was a crew chief last year. Did they demote him? Is that the story? Do I have that right? Because now he's being promoted again back to crew chief.
Sued the MLB in 2017, citing discrimination because he hadn't been assigned the World Series for 12 years and hadn't been promoted to head of crew. That case is still pending. So he had his run-in Red Sox-Yankees playoff game in 18. Three calls at first base reversed after replay. And then...
As part of the punishment last year, Joe Torre demoted him from crew chief.
That's it.
So, because I'm like, he was in charge on the field that day. He was a crew chief. He got demoted from being a crew chief. Now he's back to being a crew chief because of a shortage of umpires. That's what's going on in baseball now. COVID has made Angel Hernandez a crew chief again. That's not what we're looking for. That's not good. You don't want that. And he still has a lawsuit against baseball. Yes.
Well, it's unresolved. You filed for an abatement.
Yeah.
He doesn't know yet.
He's filing for an abatement. He was also in the news 2 days ago because he said Major League Baseball executive Randy Marsh made disturbing comments regarding the hiring of minority umpires, according to Dan Kaplan of The Athletic.
That doesn't sound good.
The lawsuit was first filed, as we know, 3 years ago. And it noted the lower percentage of minority umpires because his case is that he's been discriminated against by Major League Baseball. And baseball saying, no, 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 we're not discriminating against you because of your ethnicity. We're discriminating against you because you suck at your job. That's Joe Torre in baseball's claim. And so there's a comment that has been redacted in court filings, but Hernandez has made the claim that the league is systematically discriminated against non-white umpires, especially when it comes to promoting crew chiefs or assigning top events. MLB said, quote, Hernandez has demonstrated a failure to exhibit leadership, which is why he was not promoted. But again, this was 2 days ago. 2 days later, he's promoted again.
According to you, he's the Kemba Walker of Major League umpires.
No, wait. Now that's oh, wait a minute.
I don't want to mix up our stories
here. No. Kemba Walker is good at his job.
He failed to show
exhibit
leadership.
Yes. I didn't say that Kemba has failed to exhibit leadership. In fact, I would say Kemba has been a good leader for this team.
All right.
I would just say that I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't concede his leadership to someone else just for the sake of saying, ah.
Don't get it.
It's about them, not me.
Don't get distracted by my accusation.
Start talking about your leaky toilets again. If we need to do that.
No. By the way, Silver has thrown me off now because now he's sitting down. Now I'm thrown off by the fact that he is sitting down. You should stand back up.
Silver had a third take today.
Oh, what was it?
Eric Clapton.
Oh, yeah. So we did the UFOs. We did Bull.
Yeah.
Both suspect takes. Is there an actual take involved with Eric Clapton?
Well, this one's probably the most dubious of them all, it being a take.
Okay, what is it?
Well, all I did was I tweeted last night that I thought It's in the Way That You Use It would be a good walk-up song if you were a hitter. Yeah, striding up. Some 80s Clapton. And it's, you know, it's telling. It's in the way that you use it. Your bet.
It's not. Like it's not a bad pick,
right?
It really isn't.
Well, he said, but here's what threw me off in the tweet: "It's in the way that you use it is a great wake is a great walk up song." Is that what you tweeted?
So here's the thing.
Okay,
I was
that is what he tweeted last night.
I'm like, who's using "It's in the way that you use it" as a walk up song?
Here's the thing: I got thrown off a little bit. I was a little boozy last night. Had a couple beers.
Nothing wrong with that.
Couple beers, was watching the game, and I heard "It's in the Way That You Use It" playing over the PA in the stadium, and I just assumed it was some guy's walk-up song. No, it was just what they were playing over the PA in between at bats. It was not actually a walk-up song, because it just struck me. It's like, what player, someone who's clearly a lot younger than me, would have this song, you know, as their walk-up
and
song.
And it turns out that no one has it.
No one does. But so it was an erroneous tweet.
But now is a good time for them to recognize that this could work.
This is great.
Here's what this
song is.
I didn't know we had McTakey here today.
This song is responsible.
He usually goes for the older 80s music.
Oh, yes,
music.
He does. Let's play some Jackson Brown.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Brad. This song is responsible for some of my confusion about Eric Clapton as a young man. Because everybody, you know, you hear that Clapton is God. Clapton is a guitar god, right? It's like slow hand, you know, Clapton. So this was like the first Eric Clapton song I remember hearing, you know, that I knew was Eric Clapton. I'm like, where's the great guitar work? Turn up, Jim. It's like all synth and
right.
Chords.
This is not great Clapton.
Yeah, Journeyman, like his 80s stuff was, you know, he was like everybody at the time. They were taking a turn.
I mean, he was sort of trying to write pop songs.
He's just writing pop songs. Yeah, it's barely a guitar in this thing.
Bending it a little bit there. You heard that? A little wow. There it is. But that's
a guy known as a guitar virtuoso, so this is not a great demonstration of what Clapton was is or is supposed to be.
Was this Jeff Lynne produced? It would make sense if it was.
Probably, right? Most definitely was. Do we know the name of the album? I bet Jeff Lynne did. This sounds like a Jeff Lynne type of.
Yeah, this was like 87, I want to say. Sea Change?
Oh, Joe Siders hates the Key Change.
Or Key Change.
Our drummer friend from New Pornographer says there's never been a song that has benefited from a key change like that. I tell you why I like the song, though, Silver. It's got nothing to do with it being a good walk-up song, which it's not, because no one uses it.
Well, just because no one uses it doesn't mean that it wouldn't be.
I'm going to tell you why I like it, though. For its use in the movie The Color of Money, which I feel is an underrated film. You ever watch The Color of Money, Beatle? Paul Newman? Tom Cruise?
I don't think I have.
So good.
Jeff Lynne was not the producer on this album. The album was produced by Clapton, Tom Dowd, and Phil Collins.
Oh, there I hear go. Phil Collins.
It's there. Phil Collins right that there. You're hearing.
Yeah. Some of them Sussudio horns.
That's right. Phil Collins produced, worked on all of the tracks except for track one, which was It's in the Way That You Use It. So wait, time out. That now goes out the window too. It's, in fact, the only track on the album that he did not produce. Clapton is listed as a producer only on the first track. So that was strictly Clapton's work. Oh, by the way, the song was written by Clapton and Robbie Robertson
of
the band.
Nice.
He broke up the band. Let's not get too excited about Robbie.
Somewhere down.
Some like good solo work. Stuff.
Yeah, he's a jerk, though.
So Robertson was in charge of the music for The Color of Money, but because he hadn't finished with his first solo album, record company wouldn't let him sing any of the songs. Got around it by contributing instrumentals to the soundtrack. Original song title was The Gift. So there you go. Color of Money. Here's what it is. It is a barely attached to the first movie sequel to The Hustler.
Oh.
Now, have you ever seen The Hustler?
I've seen that.
Sucks. It doesn't hold up. Anyone says it's a great movie, I defy you. I put that in the short list of movies. I defy you to go back and watch it now and tell me it's a good movie.
I didn't think it was a good movie to begin with.
Paul Newman, Jackie Gleason, black and white. It's about pool sharks. This is going to be great, right? Nope. It's going to put you to sleep.
I don't think I made it through that movie.
It's going to put you to sleep. But this is kind of a sequel. Fast Eddie Felsen, years later, he spots Tom Cruise in a pool hall and they decide he's, you know, going to go out and he's got a new kid that can hustle pool and he's going to show him the ropes. It's a good movie. I'm not saying you need to go home and watch it right away, but I'm saying...
Oh, I won't. Don't worry. All good.
All right.
Brandon Copeland, Patriots linebacker, joins us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Nothing connects Boston more than its teams. We live for their wins and feel the pain of their losses.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Sean.
Because for Boston, it's personal.
This all started with Bill Belichick.
No station connects Boston to its teams more.
Thanks, guys, for being on the air.
The 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.